This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. It is Overreaction Monday with you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We were going to get to your calls and overreactions in a moment. But, Bart, I got a little factoid for you. Dallas Cowboys, they win last night over Minnesota with Cooper Rush, not Dak Prescott, as their quarterback. The Cowboys are now 7-1. So you are looking at them now, and I heard you say this on Organized Chaos, that they are a contender.
Yeah.
You have now anointed them because you were hesitant for a little while, but you are now anointing them at 7-1 as a contender.
A contender. Can they go through the gauntlet?
Let me ask you, can they get to the NFC Championship game? Not the Super Bowl. Can they get to the NFC Championship game? If you look at them right now against the NFC, can you see them in that game in January?
They can get there, but you know, it's going to be like, how are they going to get there? Are they going to get there with a shootout? You know, I mean, you think about Randy Gregory. Eventually, Lawrence is going to come back, and Parsons, that put him back into his natural position as inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. Diggs has been, you know, I think Diggs is coming back to earth a little bit, you know, because I think he has a lot about splashy plays, but he gives up a lot of big plays as well.
Okay.
You know, and Jefferson, you know, was doing his thing.
They go yesterday on the road, and they're, you know, it wasn't an offensive great show until that very last drive by Rush. Other than that, the first half wasn't anything spectacular. They go on the road and they play a tough defensive game against a team like Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota need that game.
The thing is, if they match up against Arizona, say in round one, right, you'd say, okay, well, Arizona can't stop the run. And Zeke is eaten, Pollard's eaten, that offensive line is eaten without no J.J. Watt.
Right.
So, I mean, Arizona's been a team that's been all in, going for J.J. Watt, going for A.J. Green. But now they're also a team that needs to get some big bodies in the middle. So are they got to, you know, recognize themselves, hey, we got to shore this run defense up because teams are starting to really exploit us that way. So do they go out and try and see who's available so they can put there? Yeah. So everybody, that's the beauty of the season.
Tomorrow.
Everybody has flaws.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, I want to ask this question. So the Cowboys are one of three NFC teams that have not made it to the championship game, the NFC championship game, since at least 1996. Can you name the other two?
They hadn't made it at least to an NFC championship?
Yeah, the Cowboys they're one of three. There's three teams in the NFC haven't been to the NFC championship game since at least 96, and the question is, can you name the other two? So I'll leave it out there for you to do that.
I can figure that out. I mean,
well, you can figure it out. I'm just asking you to name the other two.
Oh, we know it's the Lions.
Well, there's one.
Yes. I mean, duh. Like,
yeah, that's
I mean,
an easy one.
They ain't did nothing.
The other one is sort of easy, but not that easy. All right, we'll take some questions here. We'll get into some other overreactions. 888-SAY-ESPN. Well, you nailed it. There you go. You got him. That was pretty good by you. I like that. Well, speaking of the Lions, let's go to Brandon. Let's go to Alaska. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, man, good. How are you guys doing?
All right, we're great.
So, listen, I know our defense is the worst probably ever, but the offense yesterday looked terrible. I mean, do you guys see us winning a game? I think, you know, we have Denver, Atlanta, and Chicago on Thanksgiving. Can we win any of those games, or are we going to be the first to go 0-17?
Bart, what do you think?
Talking about the Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions. And the one game, I thought, if they were going to get this might have been the game. And then they got smoked. It wasn't even close.
They got the break speed off them.
So can you tell Brandon in Alaska if this is going to be the first 0-17 football team in history?
What do you mean? They the first 0-16 team. Yeah, they went 0-16, so why not own both records, right? You got Dan Orlovsky running out of the back of the end zone.
Remember
the dude said he was going to walk home if they lost to 16 and they lost. Listen, I'm laughing with you to try not from crying. Because if you don't realize this, I'm from Detroit as well. So, listen, I'm not rooting for them to lose. But, man, I thought this was the one. You know, maybe the Bears. Maybe if they run into the Bears late in the season, man. But it looks kind of tough, man. I'm just going to go ahead.
They're going to go 0-17.
I'm a hedge the bet, man.
All right. Well, Sean in Michigan, I don't know how you react to that, Sean.
I was going to ask you, you need to get Bart worked up more often. He's a funny man.
We do our best every day. Get them all fired up with sea moss.
Oh, yeah. But with the Lions, you know, it's the same old stuff every year. And I'm just wondering if maybe Bart or you can give me a – I'm a diehard fan, but, man, for them guys to play the way they did with the respectful 35,000 people in Ford Field.
Yeah.
And then to have all them – to have all them guys go down to the end zone at the end of the game and sit around there and hand each other swap jerseys and all that stuff. I mean, it just lit me up. I mean, how did...
Yeah, I know. Sean, that's what it is,
that's
man.
That's what you guys...
Yeah, I know that's what you want to hear. And Sean, here's the thing. And Bart, I'm going to put it to you because Dan Campbell, in his opening press conference, talked about a team that was going to be scrappy, tough, biting kneecaps, all that stuff, right? A real emotional guy after they lost that heartbreaker on the doink.
Yeah.
You know, just like they look like a team that was going to fight and fight and fight. And then you play a team like the Eagles that you said, you know what? If they're going to get one, here's your game.
Yeah.
And so they have played some good teams tough. Then they play this team at home.
Yeah.
Is that letting go of the rope for you? Do you get to a point, and I know you've never really been around teams like this, but do you get to a point, like, do you see teams that at this point in the season, they're like, man, we're never going to win. And you just let go of the rope because, that was a shocking final score. And you know, there's a lot of great games on yesterday. This isn't certainly one to talk about. Exactly. But the fact that the Eagles put up 44 points at the Lions, at Detroit, for a team that Dan Campbell said was going to be a hardworking, fight-you kind of team.
Every single year, the Lions ruin my dad's Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Every year he says the cranberry sauce is bitter. The gravy ain't. It's kind of lumpy. It just drives me crazy, man. And I just don't know when it stops. When did it hit bottom? You thought they hit bottom before. And Matthew Stafford always gave him a chance. But now they got Jared Goff. Now they have Jared Goff
here. He hasn't won a game.
And it's,
has he lost 10 straight starts or something like that? I know it's something like that.
And so you look at the schedule, man. You say maybe the Falcons. But the Falcons don't seem so bad, right? You say you go to Denver. Maybe Denver.
What?
Or maybe Chicago. Like they have the Steelers. They have the AFC North. So they got the Steelers, the Browns, like the Bengals. Like, bruh.
Listen, man, this is how significant giving up. They lost 44-6 at home to an Eagles team that hasn't cracked the 40-point mark. This is with Jalen Hurts, all right, as your quarterback. They haven't scored over 40 points in 58 straight games. You know the last time the Eagles scored 40 points in a game? Can you even guess? It's been 58 games. So if you could guess the last time they scored over 40 points in a game.
Was it the Shady McCoy game against the Lions
in the snow? It was not.
Oh.
And we have a guess. I heard somebody in my ear, but I didn't know who it was.
Was it the Super Bowl?
That is correct.
Ah, see, you know what?
Philly special.
You know what? Philly fans in the house.
41. That's right. 41-33.
I guess Tom Brady. Brady. Listen, you talk about
are you kidding me?
You talk about teams that are going to be sellers. Yo, a lot of people out there would love to have Fletcher Cox.
Mm.
You talk about Arizona. Mm-hmm. You want to stop that run? Go ahead and get Fletcher Cox.
So you start stacking it up again. A team like this,
you got to go all in. Fletcher Cox has been around for
a
while.
With that in mind, let me ask you this now: another overreaction, the Patriots, and them winning in L.A. A lot of Pats fans, by the way, in SoFi, and it was loud there. You go in there, Mac Jones and all, and you beat the Chargers. And the Chargers have now been a little bit of a skid lately. And they're, I believe, 4-4, right? Did they even up? Look, just double check.
Who's that?
The Patriots.
Yeah, they're 4-4.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they are 4-4.
The door's open.
And they're right there on the edge now of being a playoff team. Overreaction Monday. Pats are going to make the playoffs.
Man, I'm hoping not because, listen, I have Cleveland. They look like they're going to cooperate with my vision. And I'm looking at the Patriots, and they look like they may not, you know, look like Mac and Cheese was pushing the ball down the field a little bit more yesterday.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, the Chargers may not be as real as we thought they were. Right. As you know, you get false positives a lot of times early in seasons, trying to figure everything out. Now this is the blood bowl coming up. You know, because you have Sam Darnold coming off a concussion.
I don't know if you have Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I don't know if Christian McCaffrey's coming back, but you know Stephon Gilmore wants some get back, right? Mm-hmm, and he had an interception in his first game. You know he knows his offense.
Yep.
You know he knows the personnel.
Yep.
And you know they're going to be out for blood. They have tremendous receivers. It's going to be, can this defense that was considered one of the best defenses in the league at the beginning of the season, can they come back to form? And can whoever's playing quarterback find a way not to get Robbie Anderson killed? I mean, I think that, Robbie Anderson was excited to have Sam Darnold because of the chemistry they had. That throw he threw to him and got him dejected. You know how hard you got to get hit in your chest to have a concussion? Sam Darnold did that to you.
That is unbelievable.
Sam Darnold did that to you.
That's unbelievable.
And I wonder if they can figure it out. So who knows? But then you have the Browns who are going to be desperate Week 10.
Yeah.
And now it seems like this is why you always play the games. Because that Tennessee game doesn't seem so scary anymore.
All of a sudden.
It doesn't all of a sudden.
Again, waiting to hear
your
final word.
It's when you play him.
Reports are Derrick Henry could be out for the season.
Yeah, so I mean.
With a foot injury that he suffered in the game.
They still have the Bills twice. Yesterday. You know, I think the margin for error is 7. You have a shot if you only lose 7 games this year.
It's amazing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You should be 10-6.
Another team with injury concerns, Jameis Winston also going out yesterday, out on crutches. Sean Payton talking about how concerned he is for Jameis Winston. Again, we don't know the severity yet, but definitely sounds like they might be looking for a quarterback. Walter's in New Orleans on the Saints. Walter. Walter.
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, man. Big fan of you guys, first and foremost. Secondly, born and raised in New Orleans, huge Saints fan. And when I saw Winston go down, I was at a little Halloween party, and I even cheers to my buddies, and I was like, hey, man, game's over. But Simeon comes in and just does what he does. It looks like they just, run right into what they do in practice, still kind of put the game away. And the defense obviously stood up and was just huge. And, man, it's just like even as a Saints fan, being skeptical, it seems like Sean Payton has just figured it out year after year, regardless of who has to step in and play quarterback. So, obviously, I know we're not going to make a deep playoff run or get to the Super Bowl with Simeon. But, man, it's good to be a Saints fan, and it's good to have Sean Payton at the helm. And I wanted to see what you guys thought about, just the adjustment and everything that was made, and just see what y'all was.
Yeah, no, thank you. We were talking about it earlier, Walter. Right, Bart, you're saying that Taysom Hill was competing for the starting job, but you kind of like that element of your offense.
He's their Brad Smith. He's their Brad Smith. We used to have Brad Smith. For everybody out there that don't know, we had a guy that was unheralded
with the Jets.
When we went to the AFC Championship games. It was Brad Smith, and he was our Wildcat guy. Played quarterback at Missouri, but he was also a guy that returned kicks on kickoff as well. He took a couple to the house. It was pivotal, returns for us. He was great on special teams, and he was our gadget guy. He had a couple 90-yard runs just simply because he was the threat to throw, but he was such a great runner, and he was great in a niche position.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Taysom Hill is. So, I mean, remember as well, maybe you can get away with Taysom Hill, and maybe he deserves the opportunity to be the best option if he's healthy, and you have to find somebody else that can do the Wildcat stuff for him. But eventually you're going to get Michael Thomas back. And
yeah,
when Michael Thomas
which
comes
is a
back,
great
remember
weapon.
Who Michael Thomas is.
He's the best wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, 2019, the man had 1,700 yards receiving. That's why he became the highest paid. I know everybody wants to talk about DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams, but remember, that's because this guy's been away from the game for a little betterment of a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, all right, so we'll see what happens in New Orleans. Meanwhile, the Colts made a move for a quarterback, an aggressive one, and Carson Wentz has had great moments, and then he's had what the hell are you doing moments. And
what
if you're in Philly, you are just saying keep playing him because that draft pick that goes to a number one, right?
Yeah, they're not going to do that. If the Colts are out, I guarantee you they sit him and give up a 2. They ain't going to give up no 1.
Painful loss for the Colts yesterday, an absolute painful one. And really, if you think about it, this is on the arm of Carson Wentz, the decision making for him. He can make the spectacular, and then he can make the dumbfounded, including throwing lefty out of his end zone, which turned into an utter disaster, and Frank Reich had to talk about it after the game.
Yeah, that was 100% my fault. It was a bad call. It was a screen to Mo, and they were sitting right on it. You know, we hadn't thrown that. Didn't think they would ever be thinking that at that point in the game. I've been around too long to know that you don't call a screen backed up in that situation. And I told Carson right after that play. He came over the sideline and said, that's 100% my fault. That's a terrible play call. Now just go make it right. You know, go make it right. And I told the offensive line the same thing. Guys, I screwed that up. I screwed it up. That's on me. But they did. They went down. We went down. And we scored and tied it up. But the problem was that drive was to could have been to win the game, not just to tie it up and go into overtime. So that's the problem.
They lose 34-31. Do you buy that? It's a bad play call?
Nah, you still expect
it can't
the quarterback
all not, be not, on the. That's what I'm saying.
Not to switch
the
hands.
Minute you know this is getting blown up, you got to anything but left-handed throw into the defense.
Bro, get an intentional, throw it on the ground. Intentional ground and give up 2 points.
You're in the
not
end zone,
seven.
Though. You're in the
yeah,
end zone.
Give up two, not seven.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
Like, okay. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I got you.
Like, sometimes when there's nothing else you can do, don't do the worst case scenario. Left hand. Like, how much confidence did he have falling back with his left hand? The thing went like 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, bro. Throw the ball on the ground. Get it.
That was rough.
Sometimes you got to give up. I'd rather give up two than seven.
Yeah. No, man, to watch that play, absolutely rough. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, Bart, I got to ask you about Zach Wilson. Not playing in this game because of injury. Mike White, who's been in the league for a couple of years but has never started a game, made his first appearance last week when Zach Wilson got injured. Starts this week against the Bengals. A Bengals team that was number one that we're like, here come the Cincinnati Bengals.
Haven't given up more than 25 points all year. Only team that has had done it.
And Mike White comes into the game and not only throws for 400 yards, just and then leads a drive at the end of the game to win it for the Jets. The Jets beating the Bengals and Mike White suddenly becoming like Linsanity, if you remember that here in New York, right? And everyone's just now going, like, not only who is Mike White, but we need more of Mike White, and that's Thursday he will start against the Titans.
Flacco's like
– I mean, against the Colts, I'm sorry, on Thursday
like,
night.
Hey, I came here and they said –
Yeah, Flacco's on the sideline just with a uniform. I'm like, not even a uniform. Yeah, the earpiece in, not going to need you. But here's the thing. But here's the overreaction. This is a bigger issue. Like, this is more about Zach Wilson and less about Mike White.
Yeah.
And that is the concern for the Jets. Am I crazy to look at it that way?
I mean, when you think about Zach Wilson, this is just what the doctor ordered. Listen, this guy comes in. Yeah, he's not a rookie, but he's still on his rookie deal. He's still young, right? And he comes in and he moves the offense up and down the field. And how did he do it? He didn't do it by hitting and swinging for home runs. He did it by hitting base hits and singles and doubles. And you look at what happened, right? Michael Carter all of a sudden looks like a Ahmad Bradshaw, like a little alligator. Dude can't get knocked down easy. He just keeps falling forward. He gives you 77 yards rushing, but then he gives you 95 yards receiving. That's 160 that just your running back, Michael Carter, was responsible for. Then Ty Johnson gives you another 75. That's 160 yards of offense and then some, just strictly from passing, 160 yards passing, strictly from your running back position. I would like to think if 160 is from your running backs. That was a pretty safe throw.
Yeah.
Right? And you talk about the one he wants to have back. He didn't wait for Michael Carter to come through and clear the offensive line and
hit
him on the head and bounced up. And listen, with three turnovers, you still found yourself in a way to win the game.
That's why it wasn't like as if he came in and he was just prolific.
He wasn't perfect.
He had he was 11 for 11, then the 12th throw went just a little off mark,
and
it got tipped and picked off.
And it just shows you, right, what happens when you give this defense that we were kind of saying, is this a good defense? We start saying that because
CJ Mosley back makes such a difference.
But they were so tired. Remember, this was a team that hadn't scored in the first quarter, so that means three and outs.
Right.
That defense was tired, but this defense was fresh. And oh, my God, we saw a 2020 draft productivity. When you think about what Mims was able to do, 30 yards. And those 30 yards would have been a lot longer if, you know, it wasn't a holding call from Elijah Moore. He would have had three for like 50, which is a tremendous – he has tremendous totals. like why he's not getting more involved. Corey Davis, you're not forcing the ball to him because he's not available. Elijah Morris now being used more as a weapon, giving him sweeps and seeing what he can do by just
using
putting the ball, just putting the ball in
his
hand,
playmaker.
Right, and then now you just bringing in a rotation of guys that can get her done. Mm-hmm. You know, Keelan Cole. You know, they take away the Super Bowl.
What a catch, though. Yeah, they took that away.
They take it away, but you know, it's still the threat. Right, and then tight ends getting open. Right, everybody, 10 receivers, you know, got balls thrown to him and had receptions. That's what you talk about when you talk about utilizing everybody and allowing this defense. Listen, people can say whatever they want. This secondary, I won't call them elite, but man, this is the beginning to me of a young Legion of Boom. When you think about Richard Sherman and Maxwell coming in and being unheralded young
guys.
And
that's what Robert Saleh has been wanting to build. We'll talk more about the Jets, of course, coming up. We got a lot more to go into on that because what a story that was. Yesterday in New York, in green with the Jets. And really, again, like I said, the overreaction is Zach Wilson's more the problem for this offense, not Mike LaFleur and his inexperience. But there was also a wrinkle to that that we'll get into a little bit more. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, coming to you live from Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. So we didn't mention this also in the AFC East. The Bills beat the Dolphins, who now are just in a free fall at 1-7. Calls for Brian Flores' job already by some of the Dolphins alumni. See what Larry Zonka said.
Man, already?
So, yeah.
He made all these transactions. He's been a transactional coach.
So, anyways, the Bills, though, each of their last 12 wins have been by 10 or more points. They are blowing teams out. It's the longest such streak since which prolific offense? I gave you a little hint. Yeah. The longest, and don't give the answer yet. Meanwhile, Winthrop telling me we do have some breaking news.
More breaking news.
Yeah, Saints is now confirming. Sean Payton confirms torn ACL for Jameis Winston. He is out for the season. That is just
devastating.
Terrible news.
Waited a whole
terrible
year
news
to get
for
an
him.
Opportunity.
And now what do the Saints do from here? Again, trade deadline is tomorrow. Already a huge trade happened. Von Miller to the Rams, if you're just joining us. Yes, the Broncos traded Von Miller to the Rams. They're also paying pretty much all of his salary as well. All right, so we got a lot to get to, including, by the way, there was a World Series game last night.
It was.
The Braves were very close, but the Astros staved off elimination.
A salami.
Can they keep it going when they now move the series to Atlanta? We'll get to all that, but first, Bart's got to tell us about Advance Auto Parts.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get to Advance Auto Parts.
I was trying to find
it. I just
want
to talk to you guys a little bit. But I tell you what. We're brought to you by Die Hard, America's most trusted auto battery. Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No? We know you have places to go.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I got both. I have both sheets now.
Let's go, baby.
Aha. Uh-huh. We're brought to you by Die Hard, America's most trusted auto battery. We know you have places to go, so don't let a battery hold you back. Get an auto battery that is trusted from the start.
What
count
this
on
looks
the reliability,
like on ESPN Plus
durability,
is
and power of Die Hard batteries to get you on the road. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores. Back after this, two pages is all we need.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. I've just been well actually'd on Twitter because that's what we do. Now, all kidding aside, Glenn listening, and we appreciate you listening. Glenn tells me on Twitter, the Jets beat the Bengals. They were wearing black, and the end zones were black. So when I said what happened in green, I was supposed to say what happened in black, but if I say what happened in black, you're thinking Raiders. You're not thinking Jets. That's why I said in green. Like, it's not like I meant specific. But this is what we do. We will, actually.
Captain Literal People.
Captain Literal People.
Like, are you?
Which is like, you know, I get it.
Did the uniforms not have green on?
And so should I have said green and black? Am I supposed to be that specific? I'm just saying green. It's the Jets.
So when they have white on, you say white, right? Because when they're wearing all white, you say white,
and
right?
Then you don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Because they paint the end zone white with green letters, so it's white. So then every time you talk specifically for people who are not watching the game and not know what uniforms they have on, so you either go green, black, or white.
Listen, we're in the business of being specific.
What's the color?
And being accurate, and I appreciate Glenn for holding us accountable. Fellow Long Islander, I'm all for it. At least he's listening to the show. We love that too. But I just have to laugh. I love the well actually stuff that has to happen. By the way, they were actually wearing black, and the end zones were black if you were watching the game. And by the way, I was watching like 50 games. I didn't know Mike White was going to do that.
So the end zone's black. What's the letters? What's the letters, Alan?
You're asking me again.
What's the letters?
To answer a question I can't answer.
The letters green.
They were green?
So it don't matter.
How could you see them then if it was black and with green?
Black and green? What do you mean? Green against black is easy to see.
It is. See, we took this way too far. Because what we really need to do right now is, by the way, what I have to do first is pay off what I mentioned to you. So the Bills' last 12 wins have been by 10 or more points.
Yeah.
Right? They blew out the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Longest such streak since which prolific offense?
Before I finish and answer this, it makes no sense because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
They've lost. So, like, I can see.
It doesn't matter.
When you win, you win. When you lose, you lose.
But in their wins, every time they win, they beat you by 10 or more points. Okay. And the last offense to do that.
I go to the greatest show on turf.
You nailed it. You're very good today on this. You have a gift. Yes. Barstradamus.
I've been cheating.
Well, meanwhile, we've been talking with you, and we've been talking about all the headlines. But let's go to some headline makers who do the talking for us in a segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The audio file.
It's a very long way for us to get there. But we begin with what we saw last night. Did we see it, though, in the World Series? Did we? Be honest.
I saw the Grand Slam in the first inning.
All right, yeah, that was a quick lead.
As I was getting ready for organized
chaos. If you're in Atlanta,
chaos.
By the way, to correct myself, nobody will ask me on this one. To correct myself, the series obviously moves to Houston. Don't know why I said Atlanta. Moving on. So, yes, in Atlanta, Grand Slam, you're like, what?
I thought it was barbecue chicken.
Yeah, it could have been World Series championship last night. But instead, the series now 3-2 as the Astros come back. A lot of offense
they
in this game.
They have to make you sweat, Alan, because you know you are rooting hard. Hard
Gotta
for the Atlanta
honest.
Braves to win.
I love Dusty Baker. Don't know if I want to really see him win this one. But Dusty says that his group, this is how they're built. They have that ability to come back.
Well, it's very special. I mean, but the hardest thing to do is to do it the first time. And then once you do it the first time, then you figure that you can do it the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth time. So, you know, then you call upon your past, you know, for confidence that, you know, that you can do it. A lot of people that haven't been there, you're like, oh, okay, I can do it when I get there, but you really don't know until you get there, you know, if you can do it. So, I mean, this team has a very strong mind, strong-willed, dealing with adversity, dealing with booing, dealing with the amount of negative energy that was cast our way throughout the year.
Resiliency is only as...
Negative energy that was cast our way. Come on.
Well, the negative...
We're trying to be a sympathetic figure.
That is there. But the resiliency is only based on the opposing pitching and the... Braves just did not get it done in that light. So now the series moves to
Charlie
Houston.
Charlie Morton would be going tonight, man. This is where they're going to miss him, Stan.
Game six.
But I missed the rest of the game.
So they've got a Tuesday, Wednesday. They avoid the NFL, right? Because Monday, Thursday. So they avoid the NFL. This is for Major League Baseball. This is it now. You have everyone's attention the next two nights. Can this series get over? And it goes to seven. Boy, that'd be real interesting, wouldn't it? So, all right. So that's happening there. Meanwhile, in the NFL.
Is it game five or game six?
It's game six. It's 3-2.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was 3-1, and then last night made it 3-2.
So last night was the Charlie Morton game. That he was
I think it would have been, yeah. And then he would have probably been available out of the bullpen for game seven, just in case, but he's not. Meanwhile, Sunday, an announcement out of Atlanta. And this is one, of course, that brings some concern. Calvin Ridley saying he's going to step away from football to focus on mental health. It is certainly something that we've seen has become a bigger thing in all of sports and really in all of life. He didn't play for a second straight game dealing with what they called personal matter. Again, did not go into London with Atlanta for that trip when they played the Jets on October 10th. He did play against the Dolphins, though, last week, and he said that the past few weeks have been very challenging, and as much as I'd like to be on the field competing with my teammates, I need to step away from football at this time and focus on my mental well-being. He said, this will help me be the best version of myself now and in the future. Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Falcons, had this reaction.
With Calvin, I mean, like he said, I believe he put out a statement, and so I'd let Calvin, you know, speak for himself. It's a personal issue. So, again, I'm not going to go into many details. And when we realized he wasn't going to go this morning, we made him inactive.
This morning when you found out?
There's a lot of things, Michael. And so things can happen and change day to day. You guys were all at practice Friday. So if Calvin's dealing with something personal, and it's going to remain personal on my end, Calvin's statement speaks for him. And so when we got here today and we talked, we put him inactive.
Yeah, and so they have to now – you know, just work with him through this, but they miss a very important piece, obviously, to that offense, especially as they're still very much in the thick of things at the bottom of the AFC playoff race. Meanwhile, a team that has completely fallen out of things, Bart, and that is the Miami Dolphins. And Brian Flores, as we mentioned earlier in the show, completely under fire right now in Miami. They have lost 7 in a row since winning on opening day, and they have just gotten worse and worse to a point now where a lot of the Dolphins alumni are kind of calling
already?
Out the head coach,
year
Brian
two?
Flores. Yeah, year two, believe it or not. By the way, this is Audio Files. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, is brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. So let's hear from, well, why not hear from you and Rex Ryan? This is from Organized Chaos, a podcast that you could hear every Monday from Rex and Bart. And you guys both talk about the Brian Flores situation.
Have we crowned Brian Flores too early as some type of guru, great coach? Because it seems like his team at 1-7, you talk about the biggest disappointment in the game. Like, they're fourth in the division. Yes, the Miami Dolphins, who a lot of people pick to potentially compete, and they can't put it on Tua because Tua hasn't been playing bad. This defense has been horrible, supposed to have been big time, and this offense has been horrendous.
Yeah, and when I look at it, look, Brian Flores is 16-24 as a head coach. You know what that normally means you get fired.
Yeah, he would know. It's, I mean, well, that's the bottom line. Organized Chaos, by the way, Rex Ryan, Bart Scott. Get it anywhere you get your podcast. Subscribe and listen. You get all of the reaction to what happens on Sunday, all the way even to Sunday night. Every Monday morning, it's the first take, first reaction that you want to get from two guys that certainly do not hold back. As Bart said, take the gray out. So that's the situation there. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. That is Audio File. So coming up, as far as first starts go, what we saw yesterday at MetLife in green and black,
talk that talk,
was one for the record books. In fact, Mike White is the only quarterback since at least 1950 with 400-plus passing yards in his first career start. The question I ask of you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and I'll give you the answer on the other side. Who's the other?
Bart and Hahn.
Back. Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Well, let's talk a little NBA here. I know we're in the midst of a football Monday, but we're still deep into the now.
Are the Knicks still in first place?
NFL. Yeah, actually they are. Yeah. It depends on how you look at the standings, but according to the NBA standings, the official NBA standings, they have the Knicks listed as the first. Of course, there's four teams that are 5-1. They're one of them, but they have the Knicks listed first based on, I think, conference record and division record, which they are 2-0 in division. They are 4-1 in conference, and they have won 3 in a row. So, yes, they are first in the East. And in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz are also 5-1. They and the Golden State Warriors, both 5-1, so they are at the very top. So the power rankings have come out from the latest ESPN NBA power rankings.
The way too early power rankings?
Well, no, every week we do one, you know, okay, just to see where we are, right? And the Knicks have risen as high as 7th.
Oh.
Yes. They are in the top 10. They are 7th. Now, I'll tell you who is after them in the top 10. The Sixers, the Bulls, and the Lakers.
Lake Show's been struggling.
They have been in the struggle, yes.
You talk about speaking about calls. There's been calls for like people saying Westbrook should be benched, even after he had the one game where he seemed to.
But they've won their last two games. They're 4-3. They're over 500. They're starting to figure it out. And they've played some weaker opponents, but still, The question is this. Above the Knicks, number one is the Jazz. They belong there. The Heat have played very well, and the Heat are also 5-1 and 4-1 in conference as well. So, you know, obviously, and the Miami Heat have played played very well. They have the Nets at number three. The Nets are 4-3. The Nets have been a bit of a struggle bus team, although they have won their last couple of games here. Detroit is not very good, no offense. And so they blew them out last night.
Yeah, thanks.
Then there's the Bucks. Now, here's the question. The Milwaukee Bucks are 3-4. They're under 500. They've lost three in a row. So you kind of wonder,
are they filling
if the
themselves?
Lakers are over 500 and they're 10th, why are the Bucks still in the top five? Wouldn't the Bucks have, you know, dropped out? Now, the Bucks have been the best team, and so they have fallen, but they have fallen only to five. Then there's the Denver Nuggets, who are a very good team, just like the Jazz. The two teams that you think, can they do what the Bucks did last year? That's them. So are the Knicks right where they should be at seventh?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And listen, right now they have to prove some things. It's all based on can Kemba stay healthy. You know, and you know, I don't think it's a move this year for anybody, because you don't want to make a lateral move. If you're going to make a move, you want to make a move for a star. I don't think that star is out there, but I think the Knicks are right where they need to be. As long as Mitchell Robinson is continuing to stay dominant, and you think about what they did against Philly, you know, I think they're right where they need to be.
You think they're right where they need to be? I'll tell you what. A team that should be annoyed right now is the Washington Wizards, because they have played.
Nobody believes
well.
It, man.
They have won three in a row. They look like a really good
Kuzma.
Team. And what they got for Russell Westbrook has really kind of helped that team. Given them some depth.
Montrezl Harrell.
Yep.
Pope,
yep.
And you think about Kuzma maybe finally finding
a home. Bradley
Beal,
you know, playing like a star, like what a star does. He's you know, every night he's their main guy, and he plays like one.
Does he seem like a guy that has to be the main guy and just needs supporting role guys? Like, he can't handle an alpha male, like maybe playing next to a Kevin Durant or anybody like that?
No.
He needs to be that guy.
No, I think he's very chill. I think that's the thing about him, is he's chill, maybe too chill at times. But no, I don't think it's that. I just think it's, you know, I think when he's better when the ball moves. He's not a guy. Maybe that's the question you're asking. Is he have a harder time playing with a ball dominant player? It seems like he's a lot happier. That offense is a lot better, and the Wizards certainly a lot better. But the Knicks are in the top 10. Will they stay there? Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Candy's going to join us on the other side of the hour. Talk a little bit about the Giants tonight against the Chiefs, and what's a very important game for both teams now. If you look at the standings and what's happening in both conferences, you would look at tonight's Monday night game and think to yourself, don't look at the records, look at where they are and look at where these teams could be. For the Chiefs, it could be sort of a way to get right and take advantage of what's happening in the AFC. But meanwhile, in the AFC, a team that nobody expected to do much this year suddenly was the talk of the league yesterday, and that is the New York Jets. And we're going to do Getting It Done, and this is brought to you by Granger. And that is Mike White. Mike White got it done. And that is not, I mean, is it an overstatement? You saw it. You covered it for SNY. You're doing pre and post and all that stuff.
So every throw.
So, yeah. So you watched the entire game. You knew that they were wearing black.
Yeah.
And they win 34-31 over the Cincinnati Bengals, that in any other year you'd say, well, it's the Bengals. But not this year, because the Bengals came in at 5-2, and they were a red-hot team, and everybody's talking about them as, are they becoming the it team now? Not only in their division, but in the AFC. And Mike White goes 37-45 for 405 yards, three touchdowns, and a rating of 107.9. Now,
that's with two interceptions.
Right. He did have two picks.
Weren't his fault either.
Now, let's point out, this was his first NFL start. Now, he made his first NFL appearance last week when Zach Wilson was injured, the number two overall pick. What did you see from Mike White, and is this any indictment on Zach Wilson?
Well, I saw a guy that was comfortable with playing within himself, not trying to do too much, understanding that, listen, you have a lot of talented players around you. You don't always have to try and get the home run. He was a guy, like I told you before, against New England. His back foot hit, he made a decision. The ball was out almost a second and like 1.2 seconds faster than when Zach Wilson's at quarterback. And, you know, you think about, you know, it looked much like Matt Jones and how Matt Jones gets the ball out to his playmakers early, right? And you saw Michael Carter, 160 yards total offense. You saw Ty Johnson. Between them alone, that was 160 of the yards that he passed for, right? You saw some trickeration by LaFleur, some imagination. You saw the Philly special, right? You saw reverses. You saw jet sweeps to Elijah Moore.
The Philly special was on the 2-point conversion, right? Where he catches it in the end zone, right? Yeah,
right. And who better to?
But
to
does it help LaFleur being upstairs, Kavanaugh being downstairs?
Yes.
Is that?
I think so, because you can see the whole picture. Like, when, listen, first of all, I don't know how tall the guy is, but he can't see the whole thing. When you're able to look down at a bird's eye view, it allows you to see what's happening, the rotations, what they're doing. And listen, they went against a team that was very predictable, right? So you can stick with the game plan. This is a team that was going to rush for, really not blitz a lot. They knew that their linebackers were going to get tremendous depth to try and help out their safeties. And what did he do? He got the ball to the running backs. Michael Carter is a guy that was a dual threat guy at North Carolina, where he shared the backfield with Williams from Denver. He was able to go for 1,000 yards when he was sharing the backfield. Now he has the opportunity. He's more scrappy than people give him credit for, because usually when a guy's that small, he doesn't run in between the tackles, but he's tough in between the tackles, and he's always falling forward. Ty Johnson is the hammer, right? He's the guy that leaned on him, ended up getting the helmet-to-helmet that kind of sealed the game. And you think about, you know, Mims, you think about Moore, you think about Keelan Allen, 10 guys getting the ball, Croft, touchdown, coming back. All those things rested the defense that has one of the deepest and one of the best defensive lines in the game without Carl Lawson, who will be added next year. Think about Myers. Myers seems like he's playing a little injured for me, but Zuniga, third-round draft pick last year that everybody
was high
on. He's
starting to jump off the page.
He came out, dropped off the page, and was able to get. So now you add that to the depth chart.
Right. Yeah, and with that in mind, you mentioned Carter, almost 200 yards combined with rushing and receiving in this game. So great job by him. Again, a rookie that really is standing out. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, Mike White, only quarterback since 1950, with 400-plus passing yards in his first career start. The question is, who's the other? Do you know?
Say that again.
First quarterback since at least 1950 with 400-plus passing yards in his first career start. Who's the other?
Absolutely. That would be the Brigham Young, Zach Wilson's baby cousin,
Steve
Young.
That is not correct. I'll give you a hint.
Oh, Cam Newton off the guy. Ah, yeah, Cam Newton.
Yep. I think he went for
421
his very first
against
start
Green Bay.
In 2011. Yeah, his very first start.
The Packers
start.
Of Green Bay.
The oblong ball. And that's exactly why Mike White is being talked about today. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger's always there to help. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. More with Chris Canty next. We say goodbye to ESPN Plus. Stay with us on ESPN Radio next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.